The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies, and Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic, G-R-A-F-I-K. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I wanted to introduce you as the starting shortstop and second baseman for the Washington Nationals, but no one's going to believe that, are they, Joshua?
No, I don't think so.
I think you'd like to be, though, wouldn't you?
That'd be great. That'd be absolutely great.
Well, we're not talking about baseball, although you step outside, I want to talk about baseball. Today, we're going to talk about education and learning and some of the challenges my listeners have and different programs, options online, in the classroom, on campus. And I thought we'd bring in someone who runs the program at the School for Continuing Studies at Georgetown, and we'll bring in someone who teaches in the program, kind of a yin and yang here, giving a balance of different opinions on this whole program. But before we begin, Joshua, tell us about your background and how you wound up working for this program.
Thanks, John. So how I started was I got a liberal arts degree in college and decided to follow that up with a law degree from Syracuse University. Practiced law for a few years and then decided that it'd be best to try to do something new and move back to Washington. So we moved back about 4.5 years ago. Then I got hooked up with some people at Georgetown who were really looking for someone who could handle some of the project elements of really the program that I get to run now, and also handle some of the outbound recruitment efforts that we kind of work on. So that's how I really kind of got to Georgetown, and I've been there for about 3.5 years. Been an absolutely wonderful experience.
So if people are listening to this program during the World Series, how can they find more information about your program? What website should they go to?
They can visit scs.georgetown.edu/technology. A real simple way to find us.
That's great, great, great. And Micah, your background, please.
Sure. So I've been in the kind of the intersection of technology and marketing now for about the last 20 years. My education background, undergraduate degrees in engineering management and marketing, and grad school, I got my master's in business administration with a focus in strategy and economics, and MS in marketing and MA in organizational leadership, as well as an MA in advertising and public relations.
I went to your LinkedIn profile, and I was writing down your master's degrees, and I ran out of ink. I mean, you collect them like I collect baseball cards, I guess, huh?
I think, you know, my personal take, and I think, you know, it's kind of appropriate for this conversation, is, you know, learning is a lifelong pursuit, right? It's not a finite destination. You know, you're only as valuable as the knowledge that's between your 2 ears. And one of my old chief petty officers used to say, you know, you got to sharpen the sword every day because you're not really sure when you're ready for battle.
Yeah. And I think you're being very humble about your background here. But you start off in the Navy. You enlisted the Navy for 6 years. So many of my listeners can, you know, empathize with exactly what your background is. And you got out of the Navy and you could have worked in a factory somewhere or merchant marine or something. But you actually took advantage of some of the programs and got these degrees, got more degrees, got more experience, worked for a startup, worked for a big company, small company, another degree. So you kind of built yourself up from just a very humble background, didn't you?
Yeah, I joined the Navy you know, right out of high school at 17 and, you know, spent 6 years in the military in a variety of different roles, you know, from rescue swimmer to the special boat unit. For me, you know, the Navy was kind of the gateway to my education. It was an opportunity to get the GI Bill, you know, being, you know, from a modest background in the Allegheny Mountains of Pennsylvania, you know, there wasn't a lot of opportunity there. And for me, you know, college wasn't an opportunity right out of high school. So I used that military bridge to get me to where I needed to be.
And that's exactly what my audience wants to hear. Many of my listeners, similar type background, maybe they have a military background, then are working at HHS or the Pentagon, and they're involved in technology. And they're at a point, Joshua, where, you know, maybe they're successful and want to move up, and maybe there's some check boxes they have to check in order to get that promotion. And that's where you fit in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That our goal has always been to create the next CIOs, CTOs, CISOs, take people from a 12 to a 13, a 13 to a 14. That's always been our big movement. For people who are in the federal private sector, getting to, the partner level, getting to the vice president level, that has always been the goal of our program. And we do that through kind of educating the entire person, which is definitely a part of our Georgetown mission.
You know, I have three kids in their 20s, and they tell me all kinds of wild things. It's like cars aren't important. They don't want to have a car, and they want to live downtown where the action is. And, I think we're looking at someone, and that's where the action is, where Georgetown is with your program, isn't it?
Absolutely. The move from our campus, from really hilltop traditional Georgetown to 6th and Mass, 640 Mass, right between the Verizon Center, the Convention Center, really does give us a great place to really educate. We have a brand new modern building. It looks modern. It doesn't feel like traditional Georgetown. You feel like you're in an innovation space. And that's really helped us kind of educate students and make them feel comfortable and really fits, I think, their background and profile. More and more people in this city moving to the Mount Vernon area, moving downtown, and we're right there with you at 6th and Mass.
Hashtag innovation. Let's talk about that in a few minutes. I want to do a deeper dive with Mike on, so who's in the classroom over there? I mean, what kind of students do you have? Old, young, tall, short?
So I've been with the program for nearly 5 years now, and I think, what I find interesting is the diversity. So you have, some kind of hard chargers that are in their late 20s, that have, a lot of deep subject matter expertise in various technology fields, whether that's, systems engineering, network security, programmers, folks that are maybe on the kind of program management side of the house, to folks that are, in their mid to late 40s, who are in, director level program management or division management positions, all of which, are kind of have an eye towards, the C-suite or the corner office at some point. And what I think is great is, the kind of holistic way that Georgetown approaches education really benefits that kind of executive aspiration.
Well, he used the magic word of profile and students and growth in 5 years. And so I know you have a background in hockey and hockey stick. Well, is that the way to describe the growth of Georgetown School from the last 5 years? I mean, this is incredible growth.
Yes. I mean, we went from somewhere in 2010 to 2011 having just a handful, 20 to 25 students. Now we have 275 students. That includes our online piece of our program. Our program is fully integrated, so you can come from distance, whether you're, living in Reston and it's just a tough commute here in Washington, or if you live in California. That's really helped us really accelerate growth of our program. It's also really brought us in a new and interesting student profile because technology across the country does look a little different than it does here in Washington. We still have a number of government employees. I can think of two or three who are in Kansas City who work at the U.S. Mint there. And that's actually quite interesting for us to really get different perspectives, whether it's in the physical classroom or the online classroom. One of our big goals is to have a business analyst sitting next to a computer science major. That's always been a hallmark and always a goal for us.
One of my friends has a son who's out in AP Hill Air Force Base. I think it's in Utah. And, you just talked Kansas City, Utah. There are people in the military everywhere, I mean, all across the United States. And I don't think that geography should limit their ability to get promoted, shouldn't limit their ability to learn. And I think this is one of the flexibilities that your program is allowing, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have a number of veterans and active duty military folks who've come to the program.
We're teaching the program, too.
And teaching the program, too. Absolutely. One of the big things for us has always been the Signal Corps, people who come from that discipline within the military. We have military students currently in Germany, in South Carolina, Florida, Texas, and California. So in addition to many people here are based in the district area at some of the various bases, including Andrews, that are part of our program and really using some of their more hands-on skills to learn strategy, to learn how to essentially go out and scope a project, what product they'll actually need and what requirements it must have. That is definitely one of the things that we're working on a daily basis.
Tableau Software had an event 2 weeks ago, and they had 1,200 people in the room, and they also streamed it out to 1,500 people, because what about if you're Joe Schmo sitting in Spokane or in San Francisco, and you don't have the money to come into town, but you can learn online, you can see what's going on, you can be there virtually through the technology that's available today. So it opens all kinds of worlds for our different types of students, doesn't it, Micah?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, it's, you know, you point out a good point, Josh. We, you know, we do have, you know, a tremendous amount of diversity. Like, even in the capstone class I'm teaching this semester, we have, you know, a gentleman in the Army, a gentleman in the Air Force, and then lots of representation from the federal government, from, you know, both the Federal Bureau of Investigation as well as other intelligence agencies. So it is, and most of those folks are, as you know, are also veterans. And I think, you know, the technology aspect that you're alluding to, whether it's taking classes wholly online, or even those folks that are coming to campus but may have to travel for business or may get deployed, we leverage technology to make sure that they're actually able to participate in the class session at a distance. So it really is a kind of hodgepodge of synchronous and asynchronous education these days.
Well, that was a real good radio tease there, because we're going to take a break, talk more about hybrid after the break here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies, Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic. He teaches in the program. Let's talk about your background here at Graphic. What is GRAFIK? What does Graphic do?
Sure. Well, we're a branding agency, a full-service agency. We've been in business now for just at 40-year mark.
4-0.
So it's
Before I was born.
It's a big year for us. We work with, you know, clients from mid caps, you know, right around, you know, the kind of 50 million in revenue to over a billion organizations, from professional services, technology, healthcare, education,
sports too,
and also federal agencies. Mm-hmm. We've been working on a number of projects for federal agencies over the years, and currently working on a project for the National Human Genome Research Institute.
I was at your website this morning, grafik.com. I saw GSA there too, huh?
We're on the schedule. So we do work with a lot of federal agencies, but our work really spans B2B, B2C, B2G. My specific role within the organization, I head up the digital practice. Mm-hmm. So that encompasses digital strategists, user experience designers, and technologists.
Yeah. Some people say that a good digital strategy is have a presence on YouTube. And I went to YouTube this morning, and I typed in your school name, and the very first hit was like 18,000 views on this one little video. You did a little 30-second video. It's great. Tell us about this. What's the name of it?
So we do have our own YouTube channel, and we are producing videos out of our LG Digital Broadcast Studio, which is kind of one of a kind in terms of where we are in the digital space. We're producing videos all the time because that's what students kind of want to see. That's what they want to enjoy. We've produced videos on everything from big name sports deals to cybersecurity to, you know, journalism. So we've definitely touched upon a lot of different things. And it's been a really great experience to kind of use our studio to produce videos. And really, it also helps a tremendous amount with our online courses, where a lot of development goes into video creation.
And, you know, we're on the radio here, and we can say, well, the students at the School for Continuing Studies are tall and old and young and fat and skinny and every different color in the rainbow and blah, blah, blah. But if you go online, you see the students, they go, ah, they're just like me. Oh, they're just like me. Oh, they're normal. I want to go down there and learn more. And I think that's what I learned from the video. This looks like a typical, you go down in random day and drag a camera in the classroom and you can see these folks here. And I think it was real done. One was like a minute and a half and it got 18,000 views. Another one was half a minute, like seven. That's a pretty respectable number.
Yeah, absolutely. We are essentially the premier school for continuing education really here in the district. From a technology perspective, kind of having videos that kind of play with some of the major topics going on, you know, and I know that data security has been a big one recently. We've definitely been trying to focus in on that. You know, to kind of talk about, you know, a couple of students in particular. You know, I think of a student like Christine Doyne, who was one of our 30 best students of the year for all of continuing studies in our 19 graduate programs. You know, Christine works at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She was a web specialist when we started with her in the program about 2 years ago. Her husband is a veteran. Kristen and they have several children. She had lived on bases all across the world with her husband.
Sounds like my listener.
Absolutely. And Christine really went from, she had these basic web skills. We've turned her into a team lead kind of at CFPP. And that's really what we're doing to kind of accelerate the student. And we do that through a lot of different technologies to essentially engage the student on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis.
Well, Mike, I did my homework this morning and I wrote down these words, the needs of learners in a digital age. You know, I mean, her needs are going to be, look, she's juggling the schedule. She's got a husband, she's got kids, she's got work, she's got this, she's got that. How do you juggle it? And all of a sudden it's all digitized. So this is a whole different world from teaching 5 or 8 years ago, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you look at the curriculum for the technology master's program at Georgetown, the first thing that comes to my mind is it's very holistic. You think about, you know, there's courses that are focused on specific subject areas, whether that's big data or security or systems engineering. But there's also courses that focus on softer issues like ethics, you know, things that are truly important if you're looking to develop leadership and leadership skills and managerial acumen. Finance for technology managers. So, you know, there are courses that cover, you know, a wide variety of the skills that are needed to advance into senior middle management or senior leadership, regardless of the kind of organization that you're working in, be it, you know, Lockheed Martin or a federal agency or even one of our U.S. military branches.
Leadership and innovation, that's those are two key words, aren't they, Joshua?
Absolutely. Georgetown is known kind of here in Washington for making strong leaders. Every single one of our students takes a class in ethics. It is a large part of our ethos is to make sure that is understood. We talk about our professor for ethics, Pablo Molina, talks about what it takes to be an ethical leader in terms of management. So in terms of hiring, firing when it happens, leadership development, as well as, you know, information security and what ethics really looks like in those spheres. Dr. Molina has been a great resource for us on that for many years. I know he's appeared here with you before. So,
yeah. So Mike, you know, what's interesting is that if I'm sitting on a metro train with you and you're reading the newspaper, the headline could be ethical questions about what's happening in this town here. And it seems like it's either a coincidence or fortuitous, but every single class at Georgetown has to have an ethical component. And I think this, of all the times to have that type of training, it's now, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny when I first I'll take a step back in my own education. You know, when I was getting my MBA, you know, ethics really wasn't, you know, a thing in the curriculum. And, you know, you think about, you know,
it wasn't.
The challenges that were popping up at that time, whether, you know, it was Enron or Global Crossing or, you know, any number of the organizations that, you know, kind of fell afoul. Today, you know, what we're seeing, you know, is it's the moral and ethical questions that surround technology are ones that actually are pretty important in society. You think about, you know, for example, wiretapping, right, or electronic surveillance in the environment that we live in. You know, these leaders have to address questions about, you know, where is that gray line?
You know, yesterday, I ordered a book from Amazon about Edward Snowden. I mean, the listeners should read this book because this is a question all my listeners are going to have. They work for the federal government. They're involved in federal IT. And Micah, they're going to have ethical questions they're going to have to ask themselves, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it gets back to, like, you know, the approach that Georgetown takes, you know, to teaching students. And I think it's one where it's not just based on theory. It's based on real world practice. You know, folks that have had, you know, kind of boots on the ground in various agencies and companies over the years and have a depth of experience, challenging students to take the theory and apply it and put it into practice in terms of practical thinking, asking real world questions, challenging them to be critical thinkers on their own and exploring those ideas.
So Joshua, we used this word earlier in the interview, hybrid. So what is that? How does that apply to your program?
So what we're really doing is we're trying to make sure that we build the most flexible and agile schedule kind of for students so that they can come to class when where they are and how they need to. So, you know, we have a large population of female students who come to us from online. And we know that they have children and that the hours that they would be able to come to class sometimes occur later at night. So we offer online classes for that. Our hybrid nature, we have a large video program of streaming out the classroom to students who cannot physically come to class, who got sent on a work trip that week, so that they can come to class even when they're not in the Washington area. And that's what kind of we consider hybrid. And being able to have some form of interaction with the faculty member and the classroom while that's occurring.
And Micah, you've taught at several levels in the program, as high as the capstone, and some listeners don't know what it is. A capstone is a big project at the end of an academic period of time. Tell us about the capstone and what this means to the students.
Capstone, it's a real privilege to teach because you're catching students, you know, at the end of their TM journey. You know, it is the kind of the culmination of all their learning. It's their opportunity to demonstrate mastery. And we approach this from a project perspective, you know, with teams of students, and we give them options in terms of, you know, what kind of project they like to address, whether that's looking at a legacy software issue within the organization or a startup.
We'll have to take a quick break and come back with Capstone. I think that's an integral part of this program here. We just have to take a break and get the bills paid. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies, Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies, and Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic. That's his day job. He also teaches in the program for many years here. We're talking about, you know, our listeners and trying to learn about technology and trying to figure out how to juggle a program. If you have a family, if you may be a distance learner, if you're in the middle of nowhere in Kansas or Montana or something. And we've touched on all kinds of things. Before the break, we talked about the capstone. But during the break, we talked about some of the other teachers in the program. And it dawned on Joshua, this would really resonate with the audience. Name a couple of the other folks who are teaching there.
Yep. So Lisa Schlosser, who is the former deputy CIO of the United States and was the acting CIO of OPM, is one of our faculty members. She teaches managing technology. She's one of our longest faculty members. She's been with us 7+ years now.
Managing technology sounds like Babe Ruth talking about baseball. I mean, this is this is from the horse's mouth here, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what Lisa really goes into, in addition to talking about ethics and talking about how to manage a team and a project, she also talks about how to scope essentially software that's needed. I'm not really looking at the specific softwares that exist, but looking at what requirements, what are actually needed in the software and selection, which is a big part of what we kind of talk about at a big time level in our program, is to make sure that when you're going out and you're looking for a vendor, that the vendor will meet your needs on what you actually need and where you actually need it.
And a recent hire is Maria Trujillo.
Absolutely. Our new faculty director, Maria, she's an associate professor of the practice, comes to us from a long career in government work and working in international development. And that really brings us, she's really helping us to kind of branch out and really work in building more international courses and building diversity kind of in our program.
And if you are a Spanish speaker, all of a sudden you can talk to her about all kinds of issues. And what if you're a female Spanish speaker and you want to make sure that you're going to fit in the program? Well, Marie's going to make sure you fit in the program. I know her. She's a tiger. She's going to make sure you fit in all kinds of different levels, isn't she?
Absolutely. She's been a great addition to kind of our program. And we're really looking forward for her to kind of get in the classroom this summer in the fall and really kind of lead a group of students. We do have a number of students from essentially international places, South America, Europe, Asia. So we're kind of, you know, building that diversity within our class. And I think Micah is really seeing that in the classroom.
The capstones, go back to the capstone diversity. Isn't it changing?
Tremendously, you know, in the last, you know, couple of years, I've seen a significant rise in the level of the ratio of male to female students. And I think it's really important. You think about, you know, the value that women bring to technology education and the need to have more diversity in the field. Georgetown's doing a great job of building that up.
There's one student I want to brag about, Madeline Tomchik, who is she's a woman who went through your capstone and had great experience and has a great successful career now, doesn't she?
Absolutely. Madeline was a fantastic student, a real pleasure to work with. Definitely brought a tremendous amount of diverse thinking to her team during our capstone project, and she's doing a phenomenal job now that she's graduated.
I'm going to ask a question I ask most of my guests, and this may be unusual for you. In order to find out more about online education and classroom on-campus education and the technology management offerings, where would you suggest they learn? Where can they get more information just in general? I always go to YouTube and type in the question. Where's a good place to start to find about your program?
So the first place to start is at scs.georgetown.edu/technology. We also offer a number of webinars throughout the semester. So we know people are busy. We understand traffic here in the district. So we try to make sure that you are able to come online. If you do have some extra time after work, we can come down, grab a cup of coffee with me. We're happy to have kind of people come down and sit in classes, whether it's Micah or some of our other great faculty like Roger Nebel, who handles most of our information security courses. This is a great opportunity to kind of come down all five metro lines, kind of connect with our school. So we have an accessible campus, which is really, really important to us.
Mike, I was teasing you earlier about the number of master's degrees you have, and you probably have to have like one of those accordion business cards because there's so many master's degrees in there. But you've actually been in a lot of classrooms and seen a lot of different situations, and I'm sure you've seen, my wife tells me she learned as much from a bad teacher as from a good teacher. And you've seen a lot. And let's talk about this learning environment and hybrid and the diversity in the classroom. It's got to be different from all the other classroom situations you've been in.
It actually is, you know, significantly different. You know, whether I look at my undergraduate education or my graduate education over the years, I think, you know, the greatest similarity that I could find between, you know, education situations I've been in and what we have at Georgetown SCS is a program I recently attended at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. I did the advanced management program there, and they bring in a diverse faculty to really look at education from a holistic lens. And I think Georgetown really mimics a lot of what I saw at Wharton. And I think that, you know, the level of thinking that the faculty members bring to each class is at a very high level. And they challenge students to think critically, to challenge assumptions, and, you know, to really become much better at making decisions in kind of real time.
That Wharton School is, there's five words that describe it, and I'll take it right from the program itself. A lifelong network of trusted peers. That's what you get. And I think that's what you get at Georgetown, too, isn't it? A lifelong network of trusted peers. It's great.
You know, that's actually funny that you mentioned that. In the 5 years that I've been at Georgetown, each successive year I see a graduating class of really bright students. And I've maintained relationships over the years with a large number of those students who come back to me and are asking me a question about maybe going to a master's degree in big data or a master's degree in cybersecurity or just career decisions that they may want to make. And they tap into me and other faculty members for advice. So it really is a lifelong relationship.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it, Joshua?
Absolutely. You know, I think about someone like Madeline Tomchik, who, you know, was kind of working with Georgetown at the time that she was in the program and now works for Applied Information Sciences, AIS, was able to kind of accelerate her career kind of through us. You know, a couple other, you know, quick examples of kind of how our students have sort of built their network and really worked towards that. We have one, I think, a student in your class aren't named right now, Ryan Kwan, who was in the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. And now works for one of the big five contractors really here in Washington. And you kind of look at how we've taken students. We have a student, Blair Crowley, who was with us several years ago, that I think Michael also had in the classroom. You know, when she came to us, she was a trainee. You know, she was just getting her foot in the door in terms of technology. Now she's worked her way up to analyst. And a lot of that is done through connections. It's done through working with, you know, your fellow classmates, networking with faculty. That's always been a hallmark of the technology management program, that we're actually getting out in the field and we're meeting people from companies. You know, we have in our program right now, you can find in one class, students from Accenture, PwC, EY, Booz, and Deloitte. I mean, there's very few venues where you get those five companies in the same room.
And I tell you, but there are also students in that classroom there, they'll be sitting in Micah's classroom, who already have an MBA, and they're using a technology management to sharpen their sword, aren't they?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I particularly enjoy is, you know, the flexibility that Georgetown gives you in terms of, you know, developing your curriculum. In the years that I've been here, I've not taught the same class twice the same way. I always adapt every year. The materials, you know, the curriculum itself to suit the times, because as, you know, business needs change, the needs of the student to meet those demands changes. So we have to be on our A game.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at the federal government, you know, the federal government's changed tremendously in the last decade, right, in terms of IT. And we've tried to change along with it, building agility, building flexibility into classroom structure, material. We have to keep innovating all the time in terms of what we're teaching in the classroom to kind of stay up to date with kind of what's going on in the federal government. 2 years ago, we decided that we were lacking in essentially a class in federal consulting from both a contractor side and the government side. So we built a new class with a gentleman named Jim Inskeep, who has been working with the federal government for 30 years, a class called Advanced Federal IT.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about learning options for my listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University of Continuing Studies, and Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies, and Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic. So, Micah, how can they find out more about your company? Where should they go?
They can go to graphic.com. It's spelled graphic.com.
And any Twitter handle these folks have? Or
it's our Twitter handle is at graphic.com, spelled out. Just
like that. That's an interesting one, huh?
Yeah, and yeah. My Twitter handle is my first name, Micah, M-I-K-A-H,
yeah.
Sellers. S-E-L-L-E-R-S.
Good.
At Micah Sellers.
And believe it or not, I'm at Ray Gilray is my Twitter handle. What about you folks, Joshua?
We're at Georgetown TM, so pretty easy.
Not Transcendental Meditation, is it?
No. It is the Technology Management Program.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Some people may say TM and not know what it means. Earlier, I threw out this hashtag, talking about Twitter, hashtag innovation. So what role does this school play in the whole area of innovation?
Well, we work at a larger university level with our partners at Startup Hoyas. Startup Hoyas is essentially the entrepreneurship wing of Georgetown, and they also run our alumni program, the Entrepreneurship Alliance. We're working with them to really talk about innovation in the classroom. We have a technology entrepreneurship class that's taught by Donna Goldstein. Micah teaches on innovation as well. We just have a large suite of people who can kind of talk about what it is to start a company, what entrepreneurship is, working within a company, taking a product from idea to actual kind of.
You know, Micah, I can name four or five students who bled or transitioned over to the startup program on the campus. And I actually know a couple who have startup companies that are successful after leaving. So if you work for a big organization, the Army or Accenture, the program can benefit you. But what if you want to do maybe Micah Consulting or Micah Software? The program can work for that too, can't it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what students get out of the capstone program is really, again, it's the culmination of the mastery of all the things they learned throughout the program. And it's addressed through this project where it's either an internal startup, if you will, you know, a new product, an innovation within an existing product, or the development of an entirely new product as a commercial startup. They lead it from idea all the way through business plan execution.
Joshua, I have kind of a 40,000 foot question for you here. We had Richard Spires sitting in that chair a couple months back, who is the CEO of Learning Tree. I've spoken many times at PMI groups and talked about, you know, all kinds of different topics for them. And they have a lot of courses they offer as well. And so my listeners, really, they can dial up all kinds of things. They have all kinds of, I call them for-profit universities. There's places like Learning Tree, which are fine. You can get certificates from PMI. I mean, everyone seems to be throwing this match. What kind of priorities should be given for different certificates and maybe degrees from your school?
Well, first off, the program that you pick and the certificate that you pick has got to be the right fit for you. We have a lot of students who are thinking about going to get an MBA, right? So they think they want to become an expert in finance, or they want to become an expert in accounting. But what they really are is they're technologists at heart. They may just be on the business side of it, and that they come for the technology management program to really increase their tech skills, to work on their human capital development, and to really learn the leadership, finance, and presentation skills to kind of get their degree. For me, it's a big piece is finding the right degree program for you. If you are a technologist and you think that you want to lead a team, you want to move into the C-suite, and that's kind of your vision, then we're the perfect home for you.
You know, Mike, I have a friend who owns a consulting company, and what he does, he goes into hospitals and from a technical perspective, looks at gap analysis. He calls it gap analysis. And so I imagine if you're working for the federal government or Accenture and you're a project manager and you want to move up, I'm sure if you look at your resume, there's gaps in there. And then maybe the program at Georgetown is kind of like mortar that kind of fills in a lot of the gaps.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Josh hit it kind of on the head. I mean, you know, there's always been that question in a lot of graduate students or prospective graduate students' minds to MBA or not to MBA. And I think, you know, the TM addresses a lot of the same kind of fundamentals that an MBA program will, but it also addresses some of the specifics from a technical perspective that the MBA won't. You know, you mentioned, you know, certificates, you mentioned, you know, boot camps. I think these are all great things, but they all fundamentally address different issues. And I'm not sure that it's always an either or. Sometimes it's get the TM and,
well, you know, that's your story.
get the certificate.
So, Joshua, maybe people are listening to the show and want to learn more. There are people in the intelligence community that may they're discouraged to use email or telephones, but they can go face to face and walk up to you. And you're at events. Is there any events coming up the next couple of months where they can grab you by the tie and ask you questions?
Absolutely. So we're having a networking event on April 20th. At Sixth Engine, you're more than welcome to give us a call on the telephone or email us to RSVP or just show up. We're kind of really open to that. You can meet some of our students. You can meet some of our faculty. We have a wonderful sponsor set up in AIS, Applied Information Sciences. We'll probably have several more sponsors by the time April rolls around. And it's a great way to kind of learn who we are, what we're doing, and what our students become, you know, from day one to kind of graduation.
SIXTA, Sixth Engine, and it's right downtown, isn't it? We're in the thick of things. Wow.
Absolutely.
There's so much going on that. I drive down Massachusetts Avenue there, and I'm stunned at the many tall buildings. Tall buildings don't mean everything, does it, Mike? You have the training, you got to have the practical experience, and I think you bring the practical into the equation, don't you?
I think all the professors at Georgetown bring real-world practical experience, and I think that's what students, you know, really thrive on. You know, one of the things that I look for every single class is, you know, that aha moment with a student where it's, I've never thought of it that way, or that's something I can use tomorrow. You know, bringing the real world experience to them that they can immediately apply in their jobs and make a difference in their careers.
Another big question for you, Joshua. I was talking to a Russian owner of a cybersecurity company. He said, John, you know, 2/3 of the programmers in the world today aren't in the United States. And I said, well, I would have lost that on Jeopardy, but I think he's right with India and Ukraine and all these different areas. So is Georgetown going to be more and more international? I know they're an international university. Is this program going to go more beyond the borders of the United States in the future?
I think absolutely. We're currently recruiting a fall class, and we have Korea, we have different countries in South America. We're looking kind of all over the world for the kind of the best talent and to kind of come and learn with us. You know, a student in our classroom takes what they learn on a Monday, uses it at work on a Tuesday, and some of that knowledge actually comes from their fellow student, not just the faculty member like Micah. So that's really a key piece for us.
This heterogeneous environment, boy, it's so productive, isn't it, Micah?
Absolutely. And, you know, on the point that you just made, John, you know, being, you know, the we do live in a kind of this global environment. And I think one of the things that TM students are learning is how to manage in a global environment, how to manage teams across borders, you know, how to really leverage the diverse amount of human capital that's out there, whether it's in China, in Korea, or in India.
You know, Joshua, people don't show up at 9 o'clock in the morning, go to lunch, and go home at 5 o'clock anymore. This is a brand new world of software management, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, our course called Managing Diverse Organizations in a Flat World definitely deals with this problem. Working with a global team, understanding, you know, when people are on, when people are off, kind of how to manage that. That's definitely a big part of kind of what we're working on.
So what's new for you in the next 6 months? We got a few seconds at the end. Tell me, Mike, what's new for you next 6-8 months?
Well, you know, at Graphic, you know, we're working on a number of really large engagements with some big commercial entities here in the DC area, and there's a lot of exciting rollouts. And if you follow us at graphic.com on Twitter, you'll see a lot of our new work that's coming out. I think I'm looking forward to actually, you know, May is going to be just around the corner, and it's one of my favorite months out of the year. It's an opportunity to get out there and sit on the stage on Healy Lawn and see, you know, this great student population we have graduate. And it's one of the proudest moments that I have as a member of the faculty at Georgetown every year. And it's certainly one of the proudest moments of our students' lives as they graduate.
Walk across the stage with Joshua on the stage and get a little degree and shake hands. And there's hundreds of people in the audience. It's really a big deal.
It is.
Absolutely. I think hundreds may be underestimating. We're in the thousands. We're in the thousands now in terms of graduation. It really does connect you to Georgetown kind of for the rest of your life. And we have one of the largest alumni networks kind of here in the Washington area. And I hope maybe some of you will become members of that community sometime soon.
Hoya Saxa.
Absolutely.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Joshua Meredith, Assistant Dean, Georgetown University of Continuing Studies, Micah Sellers, Chief Digital Officer at Graphic.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.